Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello there, you're very welcome to episode 4 of How Are Things, the podcast with me, Colin Hughes, and I'm delighted to be joined by fellow Tullamore person, Irish boxer and European bronze medalist, Gráinne Walsh. How are you, Gráinne?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good, thanks very much for joining me, and as I start with every interview, how are things?
Not too bad, yeah, going, not too bad, I'm just training away, tipping along.
Yeah, so you obviously are an Irish boxer, as everyone knows, and you've had a bit of a setback recently, yeah. With an injury. Just talk us through what happened there and what's the future hold with that in mind?
So obviously the risks, not just with contact sports, with any sport really, is obviously getting injured when you're preparing for an Olympics coming into 2020. Everyone is like, you know, extra cautious, trying to keep themselves fresh and injury free as such. But we were back in Dublin the first week, and on the final session of the week we were sparring, and I was sparring against the other girl who's in my weight category as well, so there's a bit of rivalry there between the two of us. We're still friends, but you know, we have to kind of look after ourselves,
like, once the gloves go on.
Yeah, that's it. There's no love lost in the ring, like.
No.
So we were sparring anyway, and I think it was the second round, and I just threw my right hand, which is my dominant hand, and caught her on the bottom of just on the chin, and whatever way I landed the punch, my thumb just went the other opposite way.
Yeah.
And ruptured the ligament. So I had to get surgery then a week later, and it's 5 weeks today actually since the surgery. So
okay, 5 weeks, yeah. And obviously, as you mentioned there, you know, huge aspect of looking forward to the 2020. Obviously, yeah. Olympics is a goal that, yeah, is beyond belief, to be honest with me. It's incredible. So you know, obviously a huge setback, and, yeah, and you're like, you must have been devastating stuff. But tell me, is there a chance of still getting there?
Yeah, it's not completely gone. Like, you know, it's obviously not ideal, and the fact that I've never been injured before, it was very hard to take mentally more than physically,
of
like
course.
You know, but I just had to kind of take it on the chin and accept. I was going to stay on for another 4 years for the next Olympics anyway, regardless,
right,
of what happened this year. So obviously I'll miss the first Olympic qualifier now, which is on next month in London.
Okay,
so the girl who I was sparring is going to go to that. If she qualifies, I have to wait till 2024. If not, I might get my foot in the door in the second qualifier, which I'm hopeful for. So that's why I'm training now, just doing a bit, obviously not with my right hand, like, mm-hmm, but just keeping myself fit and strong and hoping that I get the chance. Not to be wishing bad on anybody, that's not it at all, but it's just, we all have to look after ourselves.
Exactly, I was just going to say that's exactly what it is. You do, yeah, have to look after yourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, you unfortunately, we have to say these things, yeah, in life. Yeah, you know, it's, yeah, like me wanting to get a part in the show and hoping someone else,
like,
fails. You know,
it's
that's
just
all you can do.
Like.
Yeah. And as I said, it is, it's fascinating to be even talking to you. Like, you know, as I said, I know you years, and just to be thinking that you're you know, that close to
yeah,
Olympics, it's incredible. And thank God that you do have, if this doesn't work out, so,
yeah,
fingers crossed that it does, that you do have 2024. Where is that? Excuse my ignorance.
That's in Paris.
In Paris,
yeah,
okay.
So it's local enough instead of,
yeah,
Tokyo this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. It'd be even better to go to Tokyo.
Yeah, oh yeah, it would, 100%. You know, I've been, you know, hopeful of the chance to go to Tokyo, but I still am only 8 years in the sport, which is quite fresh for compared to some of the girls. Like at the European Games, the girl I lost against was 37. I'm 24. Like,
wow.
So there's the massive, once you reach like 19, it's anything between 19 and 40 that,
wow,
you can,
right,
that you can face. So thankfully, I have time on my side. There was another girl last year, one of my good friends, Kelly Harrington. She's world champion from 2018.
Okay.
And she had a very unfortunate year last year. She broke her thumb in February in a fight that wasn't even supposed to go ahead. So she fought on with the thumb broke and won the fight.
Right.
Then she had 5 months to prepare for the European Games, and in the second fight there, broke the same thumb in the exact same way. Same God. Punch was out then. She had 3 fights in the whole year, so that was a massive blow for her.
Yeah.
But 2020, that was 2019 when there wasn't much going on.
Yeah.
This is the year she needs to peak, you know, so she's flying it now. With
that's great, because it's the nature of the beast, of course. Yeah, I mean, in any sport, like especially Olympic sports like that, you know, an injury and that's it.
Now, that's it.
Thank God yours isn't too bad. And as you said, at your age, that's fascinating. That like 37, good Lord.
Yeah, I know, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, the amount of experience there, because... You know, and people always ask me, oh, do I get nervous before fights and stuff? Like, yeah, I've had hundreds of fights, but you never, those nerves never, ever change. Like, so, you know, by the time you're 37, she's still going to have the same nerves as what I'm having at 24. But it's just, she's been there a lot more than me. Like,
yeah. You know? So for example, like if you're doing some qualifiers, you know, in Ireland or something like that, but then it comes to that bronze medal fight that you had in Minsk, wasn't it?
Minsk, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, do they compare the same?
Well,
there's obviously a little bit more involved.
Yeah, and like, you know, I'm all talking about 37, 24. Like, age doesn't really matter, to be honest. Like,
well, I wouldn't get into a ring with you.
But yeah, no, age actually doesn't matter. And like, experience levels, like, you know, the thing is, when you're in a weight predominant sport like boxing, you're at the same weight level, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yes.
That you both have to come in under whatever. I'm boxing 69 kilos. So that's the only thing that has to be equal. The rest is whatever, like, you know, as long as you're within 19 to 40, you're flying. You know? But yeah, in those kind of high pressure fights, they're the little things that start to set into your mind, like, you know, when you think about your opponent and stuff. But I'm trying to train myself now not to think about them and just focus on myself.
Of course.
Because if you get the best out of yourself, everything will be
That's fine. It. What's in front of you doesn't really matter if you're doing what you need to do. Brilliant. So as you said, did you say 8 years?
Yeah, 8 years. I started in 2012.
So, like that, I fascinating. Like, so that's a huge discipline and huge commitment.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like 8 years later, you're only looking at your first Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe not, and then it'll push on to 2024. Mm. And, you know, was it always going to be like, once you obviously took it up at a younger age?
Yeah.
And was this it then? Did you fall in love with it straight away?
Well, the thing is, I was never, there's no history of boxing at all in my family. And like a lot of the people that I box with have, like, you know, their dads, their granddads, everything, their brothers, their whole family's involved in boxing. And some of the girls especially, like, you know, their dad was the coach and brought the child down because they didn't want a babysitter at home, brought her down to the club, and next thing she's in sparring and all. These kind of stories. My story is not like that at all. Like, I was playing soccer from the age of 10 until I was playing it up until 2014.
Yeah, you played for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I played for them for 3 years.
Excellent.
And like, that's what I kind of wanted to do. That was my main sport. That was where I saw myself turning pro, maybe playing with Arsenal.
Class.
Like, moving to England, all that sort of stuff. So that was kind of on my, you know, spectrum. But
yeah.
Then I just, there was one summer where I had a gap where there was no soccer season on, or there was no soccer league on in the summer.
Mm.
And I was like, if I just join a gym, like, I won't, it's hard to discipline yourself every day. You know, I find if I have a class to go to, it's a lot easier to discipline myself. I have to be there at 7 till 8, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
So I went to the boxing club across the road. And the reason I chose that was because there was posters of Katie Taylor all over the town at the time, mm-hmm. saying that she was coming down to open the boxing club, cut the ribbon and all that.
Brilliant.
And it was literally a stone's throw from my house. So I was like, right, I'll show my face here for 2 or 3 weeks. I'll see how I get on, keep fit, and I'll get to meet Katie Taylor. So Katie Taylor came down. Once I met her, I was like, right, sign me up. And then that was it. And then I met my coach, a Russian guy, Dima is his name. And he's still my coach today.
Wow.
And he's an Irish coach as well now. So he's over with the others in Italy at training camp. So I'm kind of missing him now, having him away. But
you're raging to be sitting here talking to me rather than be in Italy at the training camp. Yeah, don't deny it. It's
God.
True.
But yeah, so that's kind of where it all started, with the whole soccer thing. And I was always really sporty, like, and then just got into the boxing and tried to keep the two of them going for about 2 years. And I was trying to do my leaving cert and travel up and down to Dublin for Shamrock Rovers training. It was too much, so I had to just pick one. And
right.
I figured if I put, like, the thing kind of that made up my mind in the end, it was a really tough decision because my whole life was playing soccer, like. But then the thing that kind of made up my mind was when I was going to games on a Sunday with Shamrock Rovers, a few of the girls were, like, living in Talla. and we're coming to games on a Sunday, like hungover and stuff, yeah. and like we were losing, and I was just getting seriously annoyed because I couldn't do. Obviously, there's 11 people on a team; you need everyone to pull together. Yeah. Like, so I just liked the individuality of boxing, and
right,
you know, whatever.
You're in control of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to go for an extra run, it's going to benefit you. It's, you know, if you want to be lazy, then you're going to expect to be beat. Like, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of what swung it for me in the end.
Brilliant, brilliant. Mm. So, and then since then, you know, in regard to, again, I keep mentioning the discipline because I have none of it. you know, it fascinates me. So, like, you know, as you said, 8 years of, like, I would say sacrifice, but you've chosen this. So it's not like, as regards, you know, regime and diet and social and stuff like that. Like, what's that like? I mean, clearly it doesn't bother you. You've been doing it for so long.
Like,
but
people always kind of ask me that sort of question, you know, about like, you know, even when I go out sometimes in Tullamore, people are like, Jeannie, what are you doing out? Like, you shouldn't be out, you know. But you know, I don't ever go out when I have things coming up, when I'm in training, I am focused and stuff. And like my friends, it used to bother them more when we were younger in school and stuff, because we'd all want to be going out or like everyone would want everyone to go out. But like they've just kind of accepted it as that's just my life. That's been my life.
Well, look where you've come to. I mean, it's been worth it for you, you know?
And it's just a decision that I made. And it's not, you know, my sister now be a bit more of a social person than me.
Yeah, my side of things, yeah.
I know, it's great, like, but it just, when you're doing what I'm doing, it just doesn't, they don't go hand in hand. Like, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I was doing that. And I don't miss doing that. Like, yeah, I do enjoy going out with my friends and even at Christmas and stuff. I was raging that I couldn't go out because I had a competition the second week of January, but sure, then
that never happened
because it was in a cast. Yeah. It's kind of just part of the lifestyle,
of course. And so then in regard then to, like, let's say, is it the Olympic Council that looks after kind of your end of things, over the boxing, or
Sport
different
Ireland.
Kind of Sport Ireland?
Yeah, Sport
and
Ireland.
So do they provide you with like enough assistance and help and all that throughout your weeks or career and stuff like that?
Yeah, so my week basically is Tuesday to Friday I'm in Dublin in the Irish Institute of Sport training with the Irish team. That's basically the whole year round, because so the fact that I medalled last year at the European Games and then 2 years before that I medalled at the European Unions, when you medal, you get rewarded for it. So there's Sport Ireland grants that you get for bringing home the bacon, really.
Yes, of course, it's your job.
yeah. But then there's like a lot of the people in Dublin who are there and they have to work like 12-hour shifts at the weekend after training, you know, 8-10 sessions during the week, like, or during the 4 days. But I'm just lucky enough now that I'm after, you know, producing some of the goods, and I'm hoping to build on that in the next couple of years. So, we're very well looked after. And like, people always ask me, so where do you stay when you're in Dublin? We're put up in a hotel.
Right.
And people are like, oh, wow, that's so fancy. Like, it's great. Yeah, it does sound amazing. Yeah. But when you're in a hotel every single week in a different bed, in a room with three different people, loads of smelly training gear, living out of a suitcase, it doesn't, you know, kind of my treat now is being in my own bed. Like.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, and there is the element of that. Oh, God, that sounds like the dream and all
that's
that.
That's when they hear it first, but when I tell them then about it, like, it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's great now. It is great. And I love being in the position I'm in. Like, I never would like that to change. And I love being young and fit and able to train and stuff. So I'm just embracing it for as long as I can.
And there is that element of things. I even find it like if I'm kind of saying, oh, look, I'm like yourself, I'm very lucky to get to do what I love to do. Mm. But there is an element of even if you complain the slightest, you have to defend yourself because
exactly
you're kind of saying, oh, you know, oh, geez, I'm wrecked after Panto. Yeah, and they're like, Oh yeah, no, but like I'm all right. Like.
Yeah, I love it. I'm the very same.
Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not ungrateful. Like I am, but we're allowed to like be annoyed about or complain about something. You mentioned Katie Taylor there, and sure, wouldn't be a conversation with you without bringing her up.
Yeah.
And it's mad to think that, you know, people always say, oh, you know, these people inspire, and in your situation, she clearly did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so, just talk to me a bit about her. I mean, obviously, we know how amazing she is, and what a huge ambassador for our country that she is. So, just talk to me a bit about Katie.
So, obviously, when Katie was like amateur and she was winning all the things, she won 4 world titles, 4 European titles, all this kind of stuff, like unheard of stuff that will never be come close to again, like, because the standard has come up. She's opened the door for so many of us and so many women all over the world that the standard has just gone up and up in the last couple of years. Like, so when she won all that, there wasn't as many people you know, but she's a fantastic ambassador for the sport, for women in general. Like, so when, yeah, when I met her anyway, when she came down to my club, there was about 50 people there to see her. And that was 2 weeks before she flew to London for the Olympics. When she came home from the Olympics then, she was on an open-top bus coming down through Bray.
Yeah.
And we went to Bray for it, 20,000 people on the seafront in Bray.
50 people here, good God,
50
lads.
People, like, it's unbelievable. So the Olympics, obviously, that kind of recognition, like, once you win an Olympic gold medal, that's history right there.
Yeah.
Like, that'll never, you know, your name will never be forgotten, like. So,
and does she be in contact with ye as regards like the girl? I know obviously she's mega, mega busy, yeah. Like, you know, but as you said, she's of good support.
Yeah, she would
like
be
that.
Of great support, like, yeah. On social media and that kind of stuff when we're going to competitions. And I'm sure when we're, whoever's going to the Olympics, you know, she'll be very supportive of everyone because she knows exactly how it feels to be in those shoes. So, but yeah, she was actually in the gym there sometime last year. She was at home and she just wanted to train for a week. So she just asked our head coach, Zara, could she come down?
Mm.
And Michael Conlon does that a few times as well because John, his dad, is our coach as well.
Okay.
So they'd be kind of knocking around the gym now and again. But yeah, no, Katie's like, you know, she's next level.
It's
and she's
phenomenal.
Such a lovely, lovely person as well. Like, you know, so down to earth. And people are always, you know, that's the way she comes across. And maybe people think like, is that just a front? But that's exactly how she is.
Like, yeah, I couldn't see that. Like, and you know, you can judge a person. You see different interviews with her and the way she goes on. And obviously you follow her on social media and stuff like that. And she seems like the bee's knees.
Oh,
like,
she
really.
Is. And like, when I first met her, like, I was complete fangirl, like, freaking out. Wrote her a letter. I wrote her a letter one day asking, like, would there be any chance I'd ever be able to, like, come to Bray and even watch a training session or anything. 4 years later, I was on the team with her going to Kazakhstan for the World Championships. I actually do talks with kids in schools and I tell them that story, show them the pictures and all.
Yeah.
And they love it. Like, it's a great story. Like, but
it is for you, it's a great story, but it's also like, it, you know, people say, you know, if you follow your dream and if you know, and I would imagine a lot of people go, yeah, we've heard this a million times, but like, you're living proof of that.
That's it. Like, and if you do, and that's why with soccer, you know, I knew if I just put my mind to one thing that I could, you know, I'm not saying I'm anywhere near that or anything, but like, I'm on that kind of level. I'm trying to go up and up.
Of course.
And try achieve all my dreams. So I'm just trying to keep the head down and do that. Like, but Katie has definitely opened the door for a lot of women.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And even like you say, you know, and she won European titles and you've a European bronze medal already. Like, I mean, that's incredible. It's
great. Like, it's a great place to start. So I'm 24. I still have a good few years. Like, Katie's 33 now, like, and she's
amazing.
Still going. So, do you know what I mean?
At the very top of her game.
Oh, fact. I could be in her 10 years in this. Like.
Yeah, mad. I genuinely didn't know that. Right, well, listen, move on a little bit. We spoke earlier about travel.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the middle of discussing. I'm actually in the middle of a mad travel buzz at the moment. I'm just back from Rome that we were talking about, and I'm off to Vegas on Sunday morning.
Oh my God, so jealous.
Just for a 48 for like 3 days. But anyway, that's besides the point. So we're not here to talk about me. So you said you love to travel, and so tell me about places you've been to that you love and places you'd like to be.
Yeah, so I was actually talking about this with someone yesterday, but a lot of the travelling I've done is with boxing.
Of course.
So, you know, there's pros and cons to that, because when you go to a competition in a different country, like we were in Kazakhstan in 2016, we were in India in 2018, Canada, Bulgaria, all that sort of stuff. We were in Boston as well. But like, a lot of the places you don't really get to see the whole, you know, you're seeing a lot of hotel rooms, like you're in a confined space because you're trying to stay focused and stay in the game and everything. So the difference is, if you lose in a competition, you can go out and do what you want, basically. But the aim of the game is stay in for as long as you can because you want the medals.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
So it actually is. So, you're trying to stay in for as long as you can. So for the time that you're there, you could be in the country for 2 weeks and you might see your bedroom, the hotel, and then the walk, the little loop you do for your little round after you get your food and stuff, just to clear your head or whatever. But there's nothing too hectic going on. But yeah, some places that I've went, like India and stuff, was fascinating.
Incredible.
Like, oh, unreal. Like, I really would not like India as a place. It was New Delhi, so it was hectic. But fascinating to see, like, it really was. And then I would have loved to see more of Boston when we went there.
Yeah, I've never been either.
Yeah, it's supposed to be lovely, like, but we didn't really get much of a chance. We had three fights. We were really busy over there, so didn't really get much of a chance. But my favourite holiday destination was Thailand.
Oh yeah, gorgeous.
Unreal. Have you been?
Yeah, a few times.
It's
yeah.
class. Yeah. Oh my God, I loved it now. And like that, I was saying, you know, that I'd love to go back, but the world is so big. And like you said, you don't really like to go somewhere twice.
No, as much as I can, I'll go somewhere new.
Yeah, so that's what I'm kind of trying to keep that in my mind. But yeah, New York is on the bucket list for this year.
Oh yeah, New York. It's the only place I'll go back. Well, not the only place. I go to Lanzarote a few times, but yeah. New York is like the one place I'll return.
But people have mixed feelings on it. Like
Yeah, and they do. I think if you're anyway laid back and kind of a stroller, you know, you'll be just annihilated in New York. It's so fast.
Is it?
But
yeah.
It's just the sheer size of it. Mm. I mean, it's just, when you come up out of the subway or the airport, I mean, it's just, it's the most wonderful feeling.
I can't wait to feel that. I'm just looking for the time to go, but like.
And you'd literally stand, you come up and you'd stand on the footpad and you won't move for about an hour. You're just looking around. It's phenomenal. And you'll love it. Thailand is just beautiful. In so many different ways. Obviously the cities and Bangkok's mad and all that. But my cousin actually lives on one of the islands on Koh Lanta. He has a pub there. Yeah.
Deadly.
Yeah. So, but they're just the nicest people.
They really are.
They're so lovely.
They look so much after you. The same way people have been in Vietnam and said they're very hospitable people as well.
I was there last year, Vietnam. It's fascinating. Now, it's quite different.
Yeah.
In that the Thailand would be more westernized, you know, for tourists and stuff like that. But Vietnam have stayed on their own.
Yeah, and people like that about it, you know.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant.
The full experience of what the Vietnamese culture is.
You would find it very hard to find a McDonald's or a KFC or anything like that. Vietnam have stuck to their own.
Yeah.
You know, and for obvious reasons, war-wise and all that. But they've just said, this is what we're doing and you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
And it's the most, I mean, if you're going to Thailand again, move on to Vietnam as well. Yeah. It's incredible.
And Indonesia, Bali and stuff. Because one of my friends did a route as well. She went for 2 months, I think, to Vietnam, Thailand, and then came back, went to Bali and then flew back.
Yeah.
Said it was savage as well. Like,
it's a gorgeous part of the world. Yeah. All down
what'd
there
be your favourite European city? European country?
Oh, easy. City would be Budapest.
Gorgeous
city. Again, it was in Rome last week, love Rome, Prague.
Oh yeah, kind of the route I went on. I went on an Interrail in 2016.
Yeah.
So I went to 8 different cities in 2 weeks. So that was brilliant. I got to see loads.
What stood out for you there?
We went to Budapest, Prague. I was really ill in Prague we got an overnight train and forgot to book a cabin.
Yeah,
dying with tonsillitis for the next 2 days. God. So I was bedbound. So I missed all of Prague, but Slovenia was unreal. Lake Bled.
Absolutely.
Have you been? It's unreal,
beautiful.
Isn't it?
I was actually only talking to a friend about it last night. And was in Lake Bled. I said,
it's so picturesque.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Where else did we go? Went to Krakow in Poland.
Never been,
Fabulous place as well. We went to Austria. We went to Zagreb and Rijeka, both in Croatia.
Croatia, yeah. I went down to Dubrovnik.
Dubrovnik's lovely, yeah. We did a load in the 2 weeks that we were there. Like, it was class.
And the one thing now that I always find, you know, when you're traveling, it's obviously food changes every couple of hours. So how does that work out for you? Are you afraid or nervous, or are you willing, hey listen, I'll try anything?
Oh no, I'll try anything.
Right.
Well, now saying that, I didn't try the toasted tarantulas and stuff in Bangkok. I couldn't do that. That was where I drew the line. But in terms of anything that's supposed to be eaten, I'll eat it.
Right. And so favourites,
Italy is my favourite place, probably in the world.
Yeah.
We spent so much time over the years doing family holidays and stuff. Well, right when we were kids, and then last year we went, even though we're all grown ups now.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad, so the 6 of us all went.
Never change that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we went last year. Italian food would definitely be my
unreal.
My niche.
Because when you think you've eaten a lasagna here, you haven't.
Completely different. It does not compare at all. And there was even people, I was coming home, I was in Germany last weekend, and there was people eating the lasagnas on the Ryanair flights, and I was like, I wouldn't eat that if I was dying.
No. desperate. And oh, when you're at home then, let's say in Ireland then, like what's yeah, your food of choice? Where would you go first? Or
oh, if I was going out in Tullamore.
Well, like anything, yeah. Like say, let's say, what would it be? Italian, would it be Chinese, would it be?
I like Chinese now. I love Lana, you know Lana.
Yes,
now,
down here, yeah. Like I love Asian Thai street food. Stuff.
Yeah, I love Thai food, and that's what I loved about Thailand was the food was unbelievable. Like the fruit and all was completely different.
Yeah.
And then, like, I love going out for coffees and stuff like Foxy Bean. Yeah. They're probably sick to death.
I was just there earlier on, actually.
Oh, it's unreal. But yeah, you wouldn't think I'm in a weight predominant sport. Talking like I'm a sumo wrestler.
For the last 10 minutes. Oh, and isn't it, the coffee culture is hilarious. Yeah. You know, it baffles me. I'm really, and the people that know me that are listening to this will be laughing, but I'm really traditionalist, you know, so whereas tea is tea and coffee is coffee. Mm-hmm. And I just find it, now I have come around, obviously, but at the start of this coffee craze,
yeah,
you know, I felt nervous going into coffee shops because, like,
there's so much
don't ask me questions. Yeah. You know, as I said, you want a coffee? And all of a sudden there's 10 questions. Yeah. I just want, like, a Maxwell House coffee with a bit of milk and a drop of sugar in it. And, you know, or else tea. Now you get questions about tea.
I know.
No, it's tea. It's Lion's tea. That's yeah, it. Yeah. Don't ask me what colour I want.
Oh, you're Lion's, are you?
Yeah.
Barry's. I'm not really a big tea person, but Barry's would be my choice.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, obviously, you're younger than me. So, like, but that's the thing now, the coffee thing.
Oh, yeah.
All
it's
the different
massive
types.
And I'm kind of in that era where, like, it's a massive part of, like, my age groups is going out for coffee.
Yes.
But, like, my mom was even telling me a story the other day about one of the lads that she works with was saying he was going to go out and get a sandwich and a bottle of water, a bottle of Coke or whatever. And he was like, nah, I won't bother. I'll just get coffee and a cake. And it came to like 10 or 12 euro. Like the price of coffee and a cake, it's the most expensive thing you can get out. Like instead yeah, of getting a full meal, like in Lana, you can get a full meal for a tenner, like, and you'd be stuffed for hours. But yeah, no, I have to say I'm a bit of a sucker for going out for coffee.
Yeah, but people, like everyone, like the place I was today, like in any coffee shop, it's always packed. And people do it 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, no, I wouldn't be that much. Just my teeth would be falling out if I was doing that.
See, I have no sweet tooth, so I don't eat cakes or buns or anything like that. So I'd only literally be having the tea or the coffee or whatever yeah, it is.
See,
you know?
I'm a sweet and a savoury. Like, oh, I'm God, so bad.
Again, what are you doing?
I know, what am I doing boxing? Like?
One thing I wanted to talk to you about, it's quite current at the moment, the thing with that happened with Caroline Flack in England. Yeah. Now, again, I don't know the girl. I never know, because I don't watch TV that she would be involved in. I kind of have the basic gist of the story. But the thing I wanted to ask you, because you're working in sport, and there's obviously hugely high profile people involved in sport. And I've spoken about this on a couple of the podcasts. But just the online thing, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't imagine people like Katie Taylor, let's say people in your sport would get it too much. But like, what's your opinion on you know, like, I mean, the likes of Twitter, it's just such a toxic place.
It's
what's
scary.
Your opinion on that? Like,
it is scary, the whole thing. And like, my heart broke when I saw about Caroline Flack, because like, I would watch the TV that she's into. Like, I love Love Island and all them kind of programs and stuff. But you just don't know what is going on with people like behind closed doors. Like, obviously, she was going through a lot of stuff that, you know, in the media, and everything was under the scrutiny of the media. And like, there is people sitting at home, me and my brother were talking about it yesterday, like sitting at home, and they get up in the day to just ruin people. And
absolutely,
like, I just can't understand why or what buzz they get out of it, because no matter what, if you have 10 million followers on Instagram or Twitter, or you have 10 followers, like, people hurt the same way. Like, and do you know, if one person is pointing out a load of different things about your appearance or about your personality or whatever, they're the things that you're always going to be paranoid about. Like, and then you can't really be yourself. Like, so,
no,
you know, and there's so many examples. Like, suicide now is just, it's happening way too often.
It's
like,
horrendous.
You know, so I don't really know. But in my sport, obviously, I don't have that much of a profile, but I haven't got any of that. And then I don't think Katie would really get any
you
of that,
couldn't
to be honest.
Imagine it. Like,
I
you
can't
couldn't imagine,
imagine
it. But yeah, like, and they're like, so I suppose you, like, I mean, there's a different types of people. And like, some people, I see the abuse that some footballer, I'd be a massive football fan, and you know, the abuse that they get. And so you'd be of two minds. If you're strong enough, grand, okay, this doesn't cost you with it. But if you're not, and it's kind of getting in you, like, I know you shouldn't have to, and it shouldn't be your choice to give in, but would you not just come out of it? You know, and I know it's easier said than
done. No, I do. I agree with you, because like, some things, you know, on a different note from that, but when I was last year, there was one time where the World Championships were on and I wasn't chosen as the number one to go. There was another girl chosen ahead of me and it killed me, absolutely killed me. So, you know, I just focused on my training, kept going, whatever. But when they went to Russia for the World Championships and they were all posting like this and that and the other, the best 69 kg girl in Ireland, oh, she's amazing, this kind of stuff. It was really, really getting to me. Like, and it wasn't even aimed at me.
No.
But it was really getting to me, absolutely, even seeing it. So
that's only
bang,
a natural
gone.
Feeling.
3 months,
yeah.
I was off social media. 3 months. And because I was focusing on a fight that was coming up in 3 months' time, so I was like, I just don't want to have anyone, you know, watching what I'm doing and stuff. Like, you know, I do think social media is great for, you know, like I do a good bit of publicising for like sponsors and stuff,
yes,
which is necessary as well because I have to give them back as much as I can. So that's kind of the main way I do it. But then again, like, you know, I have to look after myself as well. And like when those kind of things are really getting to me, that's it. Gone.
Yeah,
be,
that's
like,
incredibly strong, you know. And I can't understand why more people don't think like that. But of course you need to stay on, you know, for your profile. And you know, work wise I'm the same. I work a lot on social media, but like there just is that element of being able to shut off,
yeah,
and being able to say okay. And I do sometimes, like I do talks in secondary schools and stuff like that, and my thing to always say is like the people in your phone aren't real. You know, and you're missing out on real people, the people that love you and, you know, family, friends that want to talk to you, that want to spend time with you. And yet you're focusing on people that you will never meet, that have no impact on your lives.
100%.
And it's trying to get that across to people, you know, because you see kids, and I don't mean to sound like ancient, but like everyone's stuck in their phone these days.
Oh,
and, you know,
if you're going to a coffee shop,
there'll
be people meeting up for coffee, but sure, they'll be all sitting on their phones tapping away.
You know,
no
and
even
they're not
other,
real.
Like.
Do you know what I mean? It's a really
sad.
Weird one.
I was in a shop in Costa in Blanchardstown actually one day I was with Kelly actually on just having a coffee between training sessions and I saw a little girl and her mom, and the girl was just sitting on her phone and she was swinging her leg at the side of the table, and the mom was literally just looking at her, just staring at her, like kind of, I just felt it looked like she was like, oh my god, what has this come to, whatever. So then your one like spilled her coffee or something, and the ma tried to talk to her, and the child never looked up once, like never once. And then the child started kicking the ma's leg without even knowing she was doing it. So the ma started to like pat her away. I was just, my heart was broke because the mother looked devastated, you know. And like, I'm a massive family person, and you know, being at home and being around my family and stuff is so important to me. Like, and you know, I never want Anton, that's always a kind of a fear of mine, is that I never want Anton to change like that with my family. Obviously, we're all getting older and everything, but, you know, it's just a massive, really important thing to me. So even when my brother or sister and that would be sitting at home on their phones for hours and hours, like, I sent them a thing before and it was like, someday when you look up from your phone, your mom and dad won't be there, like, you know, and that's the scary reality of it. Like,
absolutely.
You know, so I just think, like, you know, social media and technology and everything with kids nowadays is frightful, to see where that's going to go in the next couple of years. Like,
yeah, it's like scary. it's just a managing thing, you know. And it's, for kids especially, that's up to the parents, but for us, you know, you just need to be able to say, right, well, that's enough of that now. And I need to come away from that. Even me, just, you find yourself, you know, if you're at home on a couch, you find yourself, and I said, I've been checking this for like the last hour, and you're like,
the
you're embarrassed for yourself.
Gone. Oh, do you ever try to check the screen time on your phone?
No.
You should have seen when I came off. Remember I was saying when I came off social media, 78% less time on my phone.
Unreal.
In a day. Yeah. Like, I had so much time in my hands.
I think actually everyone should check that, including
myself.
They
really should.
Because
like,
it would frighten you.
Frighten you. Yeah. And it was kind of like, oh, will I not? You know, I was kind of freaking out. But then I was like, do you know what? I need to just get rid of it. Like, and I am a bit of a, I don't know, I kind of as guilty as anyone really for the
phone.
We
all are.
But it's boredom as well, like, especially when I'm in Dublin between sessions and stuff. I've tried to read more. I'm not really a reader.
Yeah, me too.
Are you a reader?
No. But and I do, I've been bought a couple of books recently, and I wish I could.
I'm the same. And my ma is a massive reader. She's a journalist, like, so she'd be really into all that. But she bought me a book for my birthday, the Andy Lee book, Fighter.
Right.
So I can relate a lot to that. So I'm loving that at the minute, which is good. So I'm just going to try and keep that going.
Yeah, and even me with TV, I find lately, but like, over, there's times you're sitting watching something on TV and you have my phone with me, And all of a sudden, like half an hour of the episode's gone and you have no idea what's going on. And like, and you're sitting there, you're like, you know, you're embarrassed for yourself. Like, what in the hell? So now, like, if I sit down to watch TV or a box set or whatever it is, the phone is in the kitchen. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is so
I know, makes so much sense.
You know, why did you even turn it on if you're just going to check your phone for nothing? For nothing.
Oh, it's scary.
Very frustrating stuff. Ron, listen, I'm going to wrap things up. Just before I do, just explain to me, so just for the last time, the coming weeks. So there's the qualifiers. The first qualifiers are in Italy when?
No, they're at training camp in Italy at the minute.
Sorry, in London.
Yeah, in London. So that's starting on the 13th of March.
Right.
So they'll be there for just under 2 weeks. Okay. And I'm going to sign off social media for
those
2 weeks.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
Gone.
I can well believe it.
That's why I was planning a trip to Rome. That's even for like 3 or 4 days. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But I'm back doing a bit of training and stuff now because I couldn't train because the cut was still too open after the surgery. But now that it's closed, I can do all
I've seen you on your Instagram. You're doing a little bit of light training and stuff like that. Okay, good.
So doing a lot of rehab and stuff. So I'm getting regular checkups with the surgeon and the hand therapist, all that sort of stuff, being well looked after.
And it's great that you have that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So
I've been so
and they're
after.
Telling you, okay, we're here, we're here, we're here. That's
it's
really good.
It's all progressed, 2 week block. So that's all I'm looking at. And that's why people are saying, oh, if she doesn't qualify, if this happens. I'm not thinking about that. Okay. I'm trying to just see 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I'll be back and I'll be fit and strong and everything. So I'll be ready. So I'm back in Dublin now next week and I'll be there then until after the qualifiers.
Grand. So if it doesn't work out for this other girl in London, then you're in with a chance for the next qualifier.
For the next
round.
Qualifier, yeah. Okay. Which is in May, on the 13th of May.
In France.
Paris.
Fab. Yeah. Right. Well, listen, I wish you all the luck with that. In the world, nothing would give me greater pleasure than to watch you in our Olympics in 2020. But if we don't, I'm sure it will be 2024.
Hopefully.
So thank you so much for coming to join me.
Thanks very much.
And the very best luck with everything.
Thanks a million, Colin.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.